Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Republic for the United States House of Representatives call for Tuesday, October 28, 2014. It's hard to believe that October is just about gone. We're going to go into the next, the last month of 2014. What we have on tap for tonight is continuing to go over the document that we've been working on the past several weeks, and we've got some changes to the document tonight, and I did some research, and I'll be explaining that research to everybody with those changes in the document, and then we'll, of course, open the floor up for discussion to see if we need to change anything on it, and after that, we'll go into our weekly education piece with Mr. David Hertler. And before we get started tonight and do our roll, does somebody want to open us up in prayer this evening?
Since the Republic Fire Representative Mark Feiner, I'd be happy to do that.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we're gathering together. We thank you for keeping us safe until we gather again. We pray that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and direction to do your will to the glory of your holy name on this call, and protect us as we go forward. We ask all this and according to your will in Christ Jesus' name, and we give you all the glory, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And with that, I'll go ahead and yield the floor to Representative Owens for our roll call tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All right, we will start with Alabama. Representative Roger Cook. From Arkansas, Representative Sherry Watson.
Representative Sherry Watson, present.
Thank you, ma'am. From Colorado, Representative Dennis Spencer. Representative Elizabeth Ackerman.
Representative Elizabeth Ackerman is present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Michael Ackerman.
Representative Michael Ackerman is present.
Thank you. From Connecticut, Representative Steve Martin. From Florida, Representative Michael Graves. From Illinois, Representative Gene Ferguson. Representative Andrew Phil.
Present.
Thank you. Representative Clinton Ford. Representative Marissa Grant. Representative Mary Jane Janota. Representative Magdalena Urbaniak. From Indiana, Representative Jenny Owens is present. From Iowa, Representative Mark Binder.
Republic for Iowa, Representative Mark Binder is present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Lawrence Beckman. From Minnesota, Representative Carl Brusman. From Montana, Representative Mari Harris. Thank you. From North Dakota, Representative Robin Cox.
Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota Free State is present.
Thank you. From Oklahoma, Representative Benita Ferguson. From Oregon, Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Tim Stillian. Representative Skylar Armand. Representative Jane Burchard. From Washington, Representative Frank Martinez. From Wisconsin, Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
Thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Speaker, I believe that concludes the roll for a moment here. Let me get us a tally really quick. And are you?
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
Marnie Harris from Montana is present. I was having trouble with my phone.
All right, thank you, ma'am.
Well, somewhat of a good representation this evening, which is a good thing. I'll give Representative Owens a few minutes here to go ahead and get us a tally tonight. And one thing I did want to speak of during my research, I was looking at the original document that we had that had a footnote on that document, and I hadn't looked at it before. I just assumed, which is kind of dangerous, I guess, that everything was in order, and when I looked at it, it was not, and I want to bring that up in the discussion tonight of the document to it kind of supports a little bit more of what I found as far as election times of the representatives and senators. So I'll discuss that a little bit more when we get into the document tonight that we're discussing. And I'll go ahead and yield back to Representative Owens.
Yes, sir. We have 10 representatives representing 8 green states. That does give us a quorum tonight, sir.
Thank you very much. And with that, we'll go ahead and get into the business at hand tonight. What I was talking about, I don't know if you all have both documents that were sent in the email for the agenda for tonight, but if you want to take a quick peek at the original document that we were working off of, which is the one that has the footnote in it, and it should be dated, I think it's 8/25 of 2014. If you click on that footnote, and you don't have to do it, but if you click on it and bring that up as far as on the web, what that footnote is referring to, the title of the document is a resolution of Congress of September 13, 1788, fixing the date of election for a president, which the document that we're working on now basically is for the election terms for both senators and representatives. So that particular footnote doesn't really apply to the particular document that we're working on. So like I said, as I was doing my research, I kind of did digging on that and figured out that really that footnote is not going to really do us any good, since it's about election of a president. So kind of wanted to get that kind of on the table first off before I went ahead and read the new document that was sent to you, that's a revision that was revised in the last day or so once I did my research on the election cycles of the original Congress, actually the original four Congresses. And if you bring up the document that that was sent out that we're going to be reading tonight, as a footnote, it has the first four Congresses, which again is of the representatives and the senators. Gives you their election cycles for each one of the first, second, third, and fourth Congresses. And each one of those started on the odd-numbered years of the 4th of March and ended on the 4th of March of the two-year cycle for the representatives. So that's kind of why, as I read the document, why in the places where the dates are mentioned is why the dates are showing up as they are. And then also I'll be reading what Representative Binder had changed the second whereas to, which to me is a very good change. So with that kind of preparation for reading the document, I'll just read the document with the changes, but as I'm reading the changes, I'll mention that this is where the change is and mention that this is what the original statement is in the document as well. So you can kind of differentiate along with me as the document is being read that where the changes are at. And let me do something here real quick. It looks like we had somebody else show up. Maybe not. I guess not. Okay, let me get back the document here. And that's not the right one. Here we go. Okay, this is what the document reads. And here's the title. 2014-06-24-01. It's the findings of Congress regarding operations under the Constitution in respect to the term of senators and representatives. In the Standing Committee on the Judiciary, referring to research to prepare findings regarding operations under the Constitution for the United States of America in respect to the term of senators and representatives in the Republic Congress, brought in report, which being read and reviewed was agreed to as follows. Whereas the founders of our nation began operations under the Constitution for the United States of America, and this is the new piece, the fourth day of March, and then what was previously in the document was previously the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789. And this is the original version of the second whereas there is no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in any way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land. And this is the proposed version for the second whereas Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the Constitution gives the Congress the power, in quotations, by law, to make or alter such regulation, end of quote, regarding election of senators and representatives, and then we're back to the original part of the document here. And let me bring that up again. And whereas it is the findings of the Senate and House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America and Congress assembled that operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America should realign with the original constitutional start date as cited above. Therefore, the two-year term for the seated members of the House of Representatives shall end on the fourth day, which the previous version was was the first Tuesday of March in every odd-numbered year, and the U.S. Representatives-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the fourth day, and the previous was the first Wednesday of March of the same year. The six-year terms for the seated U.S. senators, whose class shall have completed their six-year terms, shall end on the fourth day, which is the new proposed, and the previous was the first Tuesday of March of the odd-numbered years, And the U.S. Senators-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the fourth day, which is the new change. And the previous was the first Wednesday of March of the same. The acceptance of the findings of Congress shall cause the date of operation under the Constitution for the United States of America, or the Republic for the United States of America, to be amended from the 13th day of November of the even-numbered years. And again, this is the new proposed, the fourth day, and the previously was the first Wednesday of March of the odd-numbered years. And I won't worry about reading the first and second, third reading and the approval by the Senate, because it doesn't really matter at this point. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for discussion on the proposed changes and kind of get your feedback, what you think as pertaining to what the cycles of election times were for the first four Congresses of the Republic for the United States of America. I yield. Did everyone follow what I was saying about the changes in the previous versions? Did that make sense to everybody, or did I confuse you?
Representative Sherry Watson, no, it sounds right. Cleaner and better to understand. I yield.
Thank you.
This is a public fire representative Mark Feiner requesting the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I do have a question for you on the therefore section of this piece. And it looks to me like you, the revised version has them ending and beginning both sessions on the fourth day. I think you have to have a gap when you begin and end Congress, so it'd be more correctly say that it would end on the third day, and the new term would begin on the fourth day, if I'm not mistaken. And also the first whereas, where it mentions the fourth day of March, and then previously the first Wednesday of March, it was actually both in 1789. It was on a Wednesday, and it was the fourth day of March. So, that is you. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead and refer to the footnotes that I sent with the document. If you look at there, they met from March 4th to March 4th. And each time they changed, it was on the same day. That's why it's the same day in the document.
Okay, well, that kind of does make a little more sense as far as, not having any gap. But I guess I'm confused about when they're going to swear in, when they would swear in the new Congress, I suppose, on that same day, then.
That would be what they would do, yes.
Well, I have a question.
Thank you.
This is Representative Sherry Watson again. What happens if the fourth day falls on a Saturday or a Sunday? That would appear to me to be a conflict.
Well, I understand probably Sunday may be the case, but if we go back to the journals of the Congress, the representatives, they did sometimes meet on Saturdays.
So why can't it just stay like the first Tuesday or something like that?
Well, again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to follow what they did originally. And that's the whole purpose of the findings at the bottom of the document, was to see what they did and follow what they did. The whole idea of what we're trying to do here is to follow what the original Congress did. And that's the whole idea of the purpose of this document. I yield.
This is Republic Fire Representative Mark Feiner requesting the floor.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I did do some research on the dates, March 4th, I'll read them real quick for you here. 2015, it's on a Wednesday, which would be perfect for starting this off as the way it's written right now. 2014 was a Tuesday. 2013 was a Monday. 2012 was a Sunday. Not an election year, but nonetheless, it was on a Sunday. And then you skip down to 2011 was a Friday. And then you go down to 2007. That was on a Sunday, and that would have been an election day. And then 2006 would be a Saturday, and 2005 would be a Friday. So it makes sense to me to say a day instead of necessarily a date in this day and age because of the travel situations and that type of thing. I think it would flow better, in my opinion. I still have that opinion. With that, thank you.
Anybody else have any comments?
Well, this is Andrew from Illinois.
Okay. Yes, you have the floor.
I would also say, the 4 day, it's all that you have to count those days. If you say Tuesday, the first Tuesday, then it's set for all the years. Otherwise, I would agree with the other lady that spoke that may come up Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's only my opinion. So thank you. And I am.
The floor is open.
This is Representative Robin Cox from North Dakota. I just have a question.
Sure. You have the floor.
I'm just curious to find out. I'm just wondering what they did after the 4th Congress. Was there any reason to suspect they might have had a change in dates after the 4th Congress? Or do we have good reason to think that they continued on like that? I yield.
Well, I can do, or somebody else can do, some research on that and find out if the majority of people want to have further checking. I did 4. That's what I stopped. There was no real reason why I stopped at 4. But I thought that was a good number to give us kind of an idea of how things were done then. But, it can be pursued further if the body wants that done. And all I'm trying to put forth to everybody is what they did originally in the Congress. And we're just trying to follow as closely as we can to what they did. And that's what I found that they did.
I'm a little bit confused then. When your wording says previously first Tuesday, is that previously in the document that was just written up, or is that previously back in the 1800s?
It is previously on the document that we've been working on. If you look at the succession of the documents that have been sent, the previous document that we were working on had the first Wednesday of March in there.
I still like it better that way. If it's going to, at some point, every 7 years or whatever, it's going to come up on the Sabbath day. And I don't think this kind of business needs to come forward on the Lord's day. So if you put down the first Tuesday or first Wednesday, then you would never run into that conflict. And I yield.
This is Republic Carlson, Mark Finer. May I have the floor?
You have the floor.
Thank you. I just want to shed a little light on the research of back in the first Congresses. I do know that they did have church services in the Capitol building in the White House early on, and they had the Marine Corps band playing in those church services on Sunday. And that might help you out a little bit. And I also wanted to interject again that Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 does give us the power to change by law to make all those such regulations regarding elections of senators and representatives, so it's not like we're outstepping our power to modernize this a little bit, and that's what I'm in favor of. And I yield, thank you.
Anybody else have any comments?
This is Representative Liz Ackerman from Colorado. May I have the floor, please?
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. I think that I am in favor of fixing a day rather than a date, because Saturday and Sunday are holy days for various religions. And if we want God to smile on our actions, then we should respect his holy days, and I yield.
Anybody else have any comments?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
You have the floor.
I would concur with Representative Ackerman of Colorado, and with that, I yield.
Okay. Thank you very much. So my next question to everybody is, as soon as I pull the document back up, so would everybody be in favor going back to the, with all the dates, since they started and ended on the same date, and they also took their oath on the same day, it looks like, since their terms were on the same date, to going back and using the first Wednesday of March on every single place that mentions a date, or the first Tuesday of March?
This is Representative Robin Cox. May I please have the floor?
You have the floor.
I'm interested in going back to the first Tuesday of March as opposed to a specific date of the month. I yield.
Thank you. That seems to be pretty much the consensus of the majority of everyone this evening. Any other comments?
The public flowers and Mark Leonard, may I have the floor?
You have the floor.
Thank you. I would be in favor of Wednesday, because the first Congress did start on a Wednesday, and the beginning of the piece that came from the Senate, they mentioned Wednesday as well. And without a yield, thank you.
Anybody else have any input? So what is the consensus of everybody as far as which day? I kind of concur with Representative Binder about that we can make this slight change and make it a fixed date. I have a couple of people that say Wednesday and a couple that say Tuesday. We have to come to a consensus here on which day so we can change the document
Representative Sherry Watson. With whatever the last guy said, if our old document says it's close to Wednesday, then that works for me. And I yield.
This is Representative Mike Ackerman of Colorado. May I have the floor a moment?
You have the floor.
I would like to know from those who have said Tuesday or Wednesday, what is the reasoning they have for that choice of day? I can't think of any specific reason other than what the original documents say, but I'm curious as to what others' feelings are based on their knowledge, and I yield.
Thank you. Well, let me kind of answer that question. When I started off the discussion tonight about the footnote in the original document, where it was a resolution of Congress from September 13th, 1788, fixing a date for election for a president, that's where that first Wednesday came from. So I don't, even though it was on the first document, I don't really know if that would be, we could choose Wednesday without a problem, but I don't know if that would really be a reason, since it was in the first document, that that would be a reason why it would stay on a Wednesday, just because that document that was referring to was election for president and not for senators and representatives. I yield.
Republic Fire Representative Mark Finer, may I have the floor?
You have the floor.
First Congress started on in 1787, the fourth day of March, which was a Wednesday. With that, I yield. Thank you.
Sounds like a good plan to me. And actually, I think I did the same research, and I think I had seen the same thing as well. Let me go back here real quick. Let's see. Let's see here. You have to have Jenny help me out, because I sent it to her when I was working on this document. And let's see. Actually, that's 1793. I don't have 1791. Okay. So I'm going to take an unofficial tally here, but it will be official because we're going to decide on a date here. All in favor of making Wednesday the date that we change everything to, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed to Wednesday? Okay, all those in favor of putting Tuesday on there, signify by saying aye. Okay, all those opposed to Tuesday, signify.
Nay.
Opposed.
Nay. Yay.
Okay, that I think everybody's in favor of changing it to Wednesday, so that's what we're going to do the first Wednesday of March. Everybody concur with that, and that's what we'll change the document to. And any other questions or comments other than the day? It'll be changed to the first Wednesday of March. Any other comments about any of the things that were changed in the document as far as the original version of the second whereas as opposed to the proposed version? I, for one, like the proposed version myself because it gives us standing as far as the Constitution, whereas the original version does not. So I'm in favor of using the proposed version myself. I yield.
This is Representative Mike Ackerman of Colorado.
You have the floor.
I'm in agreement with you. I just want to make a comment here to help appease everybody's mind. Remember that between our modern time and when our country was founded, there was a sudden realization that our calendar was kind of messed up with the solar system, and I can't remember what year, but they dumped 10 years out of the calendar. So just picking a day is all we're doing, really. It's not going to have any real solid basis about dating, and I yield.
Thank you. Any other comments about the second whereas?
This is Republic by Representative Mark Feiner. May I have the floor?
You have the floor.
Thank you. I like the proposed version the best because it does give us standing. And I did do some research on that particular one at the with the Founders Constitution. And there were several people uneasy that it might be used for nefarious purposes, but I can assure you that it's not being used for that right now. That I yield. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
You have the floor.
Yeah, I'd like to propose the version better as well. And with that, I yield.
Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to go ahead and point of order. We have Representative Beckman from Iowa with us. Representative Owens, you want to go ahead and take his, that he's here?
Yeah, I can't. Can you hear me?
Representative Beckman?
Okay,
yes.
Sorry. Representative Beckman, are you with us this evening?
I'm here. I just got on.
Okay. No, sorry, my I don't know what's going on with my phone right now. It's acting a little weird. And I yield.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the second whereas? Well, if there's no any further discussion on the second whereas, the document, I want to go ahead and take a vote to see if everybody likes the second whereas opposed to the original one. If you like the proposed version of the second whereas, I'll go ahead and read it. Actually, I'll read them both one more time for everybody's so they can hear it again. The original version of the second whereas is, whereas there's no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that's contrary to the supreme law of the land, and in the proposed version of the second whereas is, whereas Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the Constitution gives Congress the power in quotes by law to make or alter such regulations, end of quotes, regarding the election of senators and representatives. And again, we've had discussion on that, but I wanted to read it again just so everybody's clear. Want to go ahead and vote. And Francine, am I doing this properly as far as voting on different sections like this? Since you're our expert in our rules, I want to make sure I'm doing things properly.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but if nobody's making an opposition to it and everybody's in compliance, then I guess you're okay. Are you?
Okay, does everybody agree with taking a vote on that particular and using the proposed version? Or do you want to do this another way?
This is Public Fire Representative Mark Binder. We can get a general consensus if you like, and then someone could make a motion to make all the changes if the consensus seems to come out okay, and then we could do an official vote, and I yield.
Okay, let's go ahead and do it that way. I'll take a general consensus and signify by saying aye if you agree with using the proposed version in the document as opposed to the original version. Everybody that likes the proposed version signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed to that proposed version. Okay, we'll go ahead and change and take out the original version and use the proposed. And does somebody want to make a motion that we accept all the changes to the documents that we've discussed, or the document we discussed tonight, and make those changes? Since we do have a quorum tonight, and we haven't had a quorum the past 2 or 3 weeks, in that motion, recommend that we vote on this document with the changes, or would you rather have the changes and do that next week? Any discussion?
Let's just get it done with.
I agree.
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin. I agree.
Okay, then I will make a motion that we accept the changes to the documents, and making the changes and stating the first Wednesday in March on all word dates are into the document, and that we accept the proposed second whereas in the document as it's been read tonight.
Move Republic by Representative Mark Binder seconding the motion.
Any discussion?
This is Representative Ackerman from Colorado. May I have the floor, please?
You have the floor.
Thank you. Would you please, are we accepting both? Oh, not the therefore, the one that talks about the fourth day previously the first Tuesday, and fourth day previously the first Wednesday. We are not discussing that paragraph yet?
I'm not clear on your question.
Sorry. It's paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, the one that begins with, therefore, the two-year terms of the seated members of the House of Representatives shall end on the fourth day. Have we hashed that through? I'm sorry, I'm confused, and I yield.
Yes, that would be what I'll do. Is I will go ahead and read the document with the proposed, with the changes that we've talked about. And I know I'm talking.
Select turn only. I know.
And I've got stuff in my throat here. So I'll go ahead and read the document with the changes that we've made and we've discussed tonight. And hopefully this will clarify what we're going to be voting on. Here's what the document reads. The title is 2014-06-24-01. Findings of Congress regarding operations under the Constitution in respect to the term of senators and representatives. In the Standing Committee on the Judiciary, referred to for research to prepare findings regarding operations under the Constitution for the United States of America, in respect to the terms of senators and representatives in the Republic Congress, brought in report, which being read and reviewed was agreed to as follows. Whereas the founders of our nation began operations under the Constitution for the United States of America on the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789. And whereas Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the Constitution gives the Congress power, in quotations, by law, to make or alter such regulations, end of quotes, regarding elections of senators and representatives. And whereas it is the findings of the House, or the Senate and the House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America, in Congress assembled, that operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America should realign with the original Congress start date as cited above. Let's see. Therefore, the two-year term for the seated members of the House of Representatives shall end on the first Wednesday of March in every odd-numbered year, and the U.S. representatives-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the first Wednesday of March of the same year. The six-year term of the seated U.S. senators, whose class shall have completed their six-year terms, shall end on the first Wednesday of March of the odd-numbered years, and the U.S. senators-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the first Wednesday of March of the same. The acceptance of the findings of Congress shall cause the date for operations under the Constitution for the United States of America, for the Republic for the United States of America, to be amended from the 13th day of November of the even-numbered years to the first Wednesday of March of the odd-numbered years. And that ends the reading. Any discussion? And does that make it clear?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin requesting the floor.
You have the floor.
Yeah, it's plenty clear to me, and with that, I yield.
Thank you. Representative Ackerman, does that clear up any confusion that you have?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, very good. So we have a motion on the floor to accept this document with the changes that I've read, and it's been seconded. Any more discussion? Well, hearing none, let's go ahead and vote on it then. All in favor of the document as read, signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, the ayes have it, so I'll have Representative Owens, our clerk, go ahead and clean everything up in the document and get that sent out since we've passed it, and so that everybody can look at it to make sure that they are in concurrence with it. And once that's done and we don't get any other discussion on it, then we can go ahead and send it back to the Senate for their approval. So with that, I'll go ahead and yield for just about 10 minutes or so to David Hurtler for our education for tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been sitting here patiently, and I have a loaded gun, and I've got so much to share, and I may go 12 minutes instead of 10. I'm not sure. But I'm going to put Article 1, Section 9, Clause 6 on the back burner. I'm going to read a portion of a new book that hasn't been published yet, but you will find it on our national website. There are two chapters. The first two chapters are on the national website. A press release went out, I'm not sure if it was yesterday, day before, on this book. It is going across the world. This is, in my estimation, is one of the biggest deals, if you will, in a long, long time. And we've been looking for answers. We've been trying to find out what's behind the problems that we have in America. You know, is it NATO, United Nations, the Illuminati, this president, that president, you know, the Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones? You know what I'm talking about. Great Britain's, the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, China, media. Liberals, Democrats, progressives. This book is about getting to it, and I want to spend the next 9 minutes, and I'm getting into the title's nobility. If you recall, I brought it up last week. I was going to expound on title's nobility, and I promise you that's where I'm going. So hang in there. I'll cut it off when I think I can here, and I don't mean to get into your sleep time. If we go back to 15, by the way, I want to welcome everyone on this call tonight, including the gallery, and may this be a memorable evening for everyone on this call. If we go back to the Reformation of 1517 with Martin Luther, the German monk, the Catholic priest, and the scholar penned a document attacking the Catholic Church, its corrupt practices, selling indulgence to absolve sin and so forth, and where he put the 95 Theses on the door. The first two of these contain Luther's central idea that God intended believers to seek repentance and that faith alone and no deeds would lead to salvation. Now, the other 93 theses, a number of them directly criticizing the practices of indulgences, supported these first two. The church's reaction. By the way, I am not coming against the Catholic Church or any religion when I read this. This is all from this has all been documented. Everything's documented. This is not my opinion of anything of any sort. So please, if anyone here is Catholic or Lutheran or whatever, please don't be offended. Going on, the church's reaction resulted in the excommunication by the Pope and condemnation as an outlaw by the emperor. The Catholic Church was ever after divided, and the Protestantism that soon emerged was shaped by Luther's ideas. His writings changed the course of religious and cultural history in the West, and Luther taught that salvation and subsequently eternity in heaven is not earned by good deeds, but it is received only as a free gift of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ as a redeemer from sin, and that to reject the free gift of God's grace would subsequently result in eternity in hell. His theology challenged the authority of the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church by teaching that the Bible is the only source of divinely revealed knowledge from God and opposed sarcodeliatism that as a priest, this is what I mean, that as a priest is able to mediate between God and man. That's what that word means. By considering all baptized Christians to be holy priesthood. Those who identify with Luther's teaching were called Lutherans, and even though Lutheran insisted that Christians was the only acceptable name for individuals who profess Christ. Now, Martin Luther ultimately put the Bible into the hands of the German people of their own language, which made it more accessible and had a tremendous impact on the church and German culture. The people could read God's word for themselves, no longer needing the priest to interpret. It influenced William Tyndale, the father of the English authorized version, to do the same, and enabled by the great invention, the world-changing printing press, Luther's hymns influenced that development of singing in churches. His marriage to Katharina von Bora set a model for the practice of clerical marriage, allowing Protestant priests to marry. Now, while Luther had no idea of the impact this would project on the German society or to the world, this event changed the course of history. With religious liberty came also political liberty called liberalism. The common man began to enjoy the rights of private property and the freedom to make a profit to the detriment of Roman monopolies. The free enterprise system was born, the direct result being the creating of the Protestant middle class and private wealth. The middle class peoples enjoying the freedom of the press, freedom of speech, and freedom of conscience excelled in all the parts of sciences, creating invention after invention. The English and the Dutch became worldwide shippers, while the Swiss became great watchmakers. The Protestants of the New World were known as the inventive Americans. The benefits of the Protestant Reformation were many, and it was clearly understood that that any wise and good man would seek to preserve that Reformation along with its accompanying freedoms and liberties. For it was the Reformation and the Protestant victory ending the Jesuits' 30 years' war in Europe, having raged from 1618 to 1648, during which one in three Germans miserably perished. That brought the world out of Rome's dark ages and into the Protestant modern era. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In 1534, England broke ties with the Roman Catholic Church due mainly to King Henry VIII's political and martial issues. King Henry VIII then started the Independent Church of England, also known as the Anglican or Episcopal Church, and most of the countries surrounding England do not agree with the king's decision, nor do many of the people in England. Some wanted the Anglican Church to be more like the old Catholic Church. The Protestant reformers wanted it to be even simpler and to rely more on the Bible teaching than on traditions and ceremony. The Protestant reformers saw this as an opportunity to bring true reform to the church in England. In time, these reformers came to be called Puritans, mainly because they wanted to purify the Church of England of the Catholic traditions that they did not believe to be biblical. And after many years of struggling for change of true biblical worship, some of the Puritans believed that the little progress had been made forward to reform. And one of their benefits was that they should be allowed to select their own church leaders and ministries. As different kings and queens took over ruling England throughout this era, they had different ideas about religious practices. We will expand on this topic before continuing with the history of the Puritans. We must understand history, the hard truth supported by authoritative and documented evidence, which includes the strategic setting up as well as taking down of the monarchs throughout the ages, as well as the world events that may truly not be as they appear or are told. The by whom and for what purpose is revealed to the truth seekers who have sought a solid foundation in knowledge of the prophetic word of God and the Holy Bible. They are not taken by surprise as, quote, surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveals his secret unto his servants and the prophets, unquote. He who knows the end from the beginning and from the ancient time, things which have not been done, saying his plan will be established and he will accomplish his will. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known what shall be in the latter days. The word of God guides his people unto all truth, and as his people seek, they will find the word of God is the greatest story ever told, and the living word is the unfold before our eyes as we watch the scenes as recorded on the pages of the Holy Bible manifested in world events. The prince of darkness, the devil, would not allow the Protestant Reformation to continue without resistance. Satan, the great deceiver and father of lies, has a people just as the God of heaven has a people. Therefore, the devil raised up Ignatius Loyola, who founded the Society of Jesus, commonly called, quote, the Jesuit Order, unquote. It was officially recognized as a Roman Catholic religious order by Pope Paul III in 1540. The Jesuits are the militia of the Pope, and their purpose was to destroy the Reformation with its popular liberties. Freedom of conscience, freedom of the press, freedom to keep and bear arms, etc. And return the world to the Dark Ages, during which it was illegal to own a crossbow, reestablishing the Holy Roman Empire. It initiated the Counter-Reformation. Let me say that again. It initiated, quote, the Counter-Reformation, beginning at the Council of Trent, where written and adopted was the antithesis to Luther's Protestant Reformation. Give me just a few more minutes, please. The plan, which incorporates the participation or ancient family links or lines of the black nobility, is for the Pope to receive universal worship ruling from Solomon's rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. This means that when their plan is permitted to succeed, there will be a future infallible Pope who will be that man of sin, Antichrist the Beast, King of Fierce Countenance, also called by the Lord Jesus Christ the Abomination of Desolation, ruling the world from Jerusalem. Martin Luther in 1520 said this: if you do not contend with your whole heart against the impious government of the Pope, you cannot be saved. Whoever takes delight in the religion and worship of popery will be eternally lost in the world to come. So long as I live, I will denounce to my brethren the sore and the plague of Babylonian, for the fear that may who are with us shall fall back like the rest into the bottomless pit. Give me just a little bit. It was very difficult, not to say impossible, that the church could recover a firm or durable peace as long as the said society existed. I'm almost at the where I want to get here. The Jesuits, by their calling, by their very essence of their institutions, are bound to seek, by every means, right or wrong, the destruction of Protestantism. This is the condition of their existence, the duty they must fulfill or cease to be Jesuits. The devil and his Jesuit general, known as the, quote, Black Pope, unquote, control the Society of Jesus. The papacy and its Vatican hierarchy, the sovereign military order of Malta, Islamic Shriner Freemasonry, let me say that again, Islamic Shriner Freemasonry, Opus Dei, the Knights of Columbus, Rothschilds, Illuminati, the Papal Caesar's International Intelligence Community, and the Mafia. Members of these organizations are presented or knighted, quote, knighted, unquote, with titles of nobility, with greater titles earned by achievements in rank. Indeed, these are the foreign titles that violate the Constitution for the United States of America, specifically Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, quote, no title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office or profit or trust under them shall, without the consent of the Congress, accept of any present emolument, office, or title of any kind whatever from any king, prince, or foreign state. I have more to read, but I am very sensitive to the time. I'm trying to bring you to the real reasons for that particular clause to have been written on the titles and nobility. That is absolutely, I mean, George Washington knew about it, Jefferson, Adams knew about it, and the book reveals everything about this, but I'm giving you the underlining reason for all the problems that we've had over the course of the last 150 years plus. This gets to, it is the Counter-Reformation. That's the bottom line, and it will be proved in this book. I urge you to go to the national website and start reading this book. The first two chapters are on the website. And I believe that's all I have for tonight. And I thank you so much for your time. And with that, I yield.
Thank you very much, David, for those insights. Very interesting. Anyway, somebody want to make a motion for us to adjourn tonight?
This is Representative Sherry Watson. I motion that we adjourn till next Tuesday, which is November 4th.
Okay, very good. We have a motion to adjourn to November 4th at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 2014.
This is Representative Mike Ackerman of Colorado, and I second that motion.
Thank you very much. All in favor for adjourning tonight, signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, it looks like the ayes have it. So does somebody want to close us in prayer tonight? Well, I'll go ahead and do that if nobody wants to volunteer. Dear Lord Jehovah, thank you for giving us a good night tonight and passing the document we've been working on for several weeks here. Appreciate your input on that and all your guidance that you've given us through the last several weeks on the document, and we praise you and thank you for your work and your help with us. And I want everybody to have a good week and bring us back together next Tuesday. And I want to bless you and bless everybody on the call. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.